Good morning. We'll continue our studies this morning in the book of Jonah. If you would, turn to the book of Jonah. And I want to apologize to anybody who may think that I've been kind of rushing through this book. We've had four lessons already, and I've gotten about 3 to 4 verses on each lesson, and this one is going to be even tougher because I'm only going to cover one verse in the book of Jonah today. So needless to say, I think taking our time and looking at these words the Lord has given us in this book have been profitable for us, pointing us to the Christ, the Lord Jesus. The verse I want to look at this morning is the last verse of chapter 1. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Before we go over to the New Testament, I want to remind us of what it is we're talking about in this book. We're talking about the things of Christ. Just as Steve brought out in his devotional of the Trinity, Christ, part of the Trinity, with one, with the Holy Spirit, with the Father, all in complete agreement. The Lord Jesus Christ expounded, revealed the things concerning himself throughout all the books, starting at Moses. That's what he said to those two men on the road to Emmaus. And that's exactly what we see here. Jesus, Lord of all principalities, Lord of all dominions, Lord of all powers and might, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1. All things have been put under his feet, the feet of Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, as we saw in our last lesson. Jesus is Lord of all. This Lord spoken of here in Jonah 1:17 is Christ the Lord, the very one who brought the winds and made the sea raging and tempestuous. He is the very one who prepared this great fish to swallow up Jonah. And as we will see in our future studies of this book, this event will be a sign to the Ninevites that salvation is of the Lord and of the Lord alone. Now if you would, turn over to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. We're going to leave Jonah for now. Lord willing, we'll come back to that book after the conference is over. I think today's lesson will be sufficient. Although, actually, I got to take that back. No, because there are so many messages that we could come up with. So many things that we could study just in this book, this first chapter. I don't think I've actually spent hardly any time at all taking a close look at those things. There's so much more that we could have seen. But yet we do need to go on. So if you're with me in Matthew chapter 12, let's look at the New Testament and how it refers to that book of Jonah, that verse in 1:17. Then, as it says in verse 38, then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Now I want you to hold your spot there and just turn back one page to chapter 9, one or two pages there. No, same chapter, I'm sorry, chapter 12. But look at verse 9. Verse 9 of that same chapter. And when he was departed thence, he went into the synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into the pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is this man better than the sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. And then he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Now I've heard a message given on this, and it was described in a way that this man had a hand that had been deformed. Completely deformed, withered away, gone. I know a friend that had a stroke once, and his hand withered up on him, his right hand. It withered up to the point where he couldn't use it at all. That hand, the Lord touched that man's hand and it became whole. You cannot deny that that's a miracle. No doctor has ever been able to bring a hand that was withered like that and miraculously bring it to whole. These men saw that miracle happen right in front of their eyes. Turn over to verse 22. Then was brought unto him, unto Christ, one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Here again, we see another miracle. A man who could not speak, who could not see. Now we can give eyes to the blind. We can put cochlear implants to people in their ears, like our sister Maxine has, so they can hear. But there is no man who has ever been able to touch somebody and make them whole as that man with that hand, or the dumb and the deaf and dumb person here, the dumb and blind. So we see in this very same chapter miracles that happened right before these very men. You don't need to turn there, but allow me to read for you from John chapter 10, verse 24. Because this is what I think of when I read that. I know I've got it marked here somewhere. There it is. Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, speaking to Jesus, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. What does it say after that? Most of you know these verses. Jesus answered them. He says, I told you. I told you who I am. And ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. No man can create those miracles. I don't care what the Catholics say. Christ is the only one who could do those miracles. Yeah, the apostles did it for a while, but they did it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Perfect introduction, Brother Steve, to today's lesson, the Trinity. I and my Father are one. The God of glory stood right in front of them. He miraculously healed the sick, yet they could not see it. Here's why. Dead men can't see. Dead men can't hear, no matter how religious they think they are. No matter. And each of us were in that same camp at one time. Amen. On my way back to Matthew, allow me to stop in Mark and read. It says, and the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. These were the men, the Pharisees from Dalmanutha. Remember in my devotion a few months back, I brought out how the Lord left these men. Oh, how desperate that must be to have the Lord walk away and leave you. And he sighed. Our Lord Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall be no sign given unto this generation. And he left them. Oh, how wonderful, folks, it is to also know the words that I shall never leave you nor forsake you. That's the words our Lord Jesus gives to all of his people. Again, we see our Lord has a people. And obviously these folks from Dalamuthu were not his people. Are you with me again in Matthew? Look at verse 39 now. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And once again, we come to a section of Scripture that inspires dispute or confusion between some. There are those who want to argue that 3 days and three nights doesn't fit. I've read several different arguments to this, and to be honest with you, I don't know either. But that's not the point. It's not the point, folks. The point is, who is the sign? They get lost. They miss the point by getting lost trying to figure out the 3 days and the three nights. You see, the point here is the Son of Man. That's what it's pointing to. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. It's the Son of Man. It's what he must be. You can argue that 3 days and three nights thing all you want. I don't care about that. What I care about is that the Son of Man was in it for my sake. And because he went there, I stand before my Father as righteous as he is. Because he took my sin upon himself into that grave, because he was made sin for me, I stand righteous in him. Just as it says in John 3:14, and Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It's not talking about the serpent. It's talking about how the Son of Man must be lifted up. He's the one that we must look to. That serpent was just on the stick. That was nothing more than just a figure. It wasn't about the serpent. It wasn't about the serpent being lifted up. And it wasn't about Jonah, or Jonas, as it is interpreted in the New Language, New Testament language. It's about the Son of Man. It's about what he did. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. Remember the theme of our studies? I started off with it this morning. I started off with it at the beginning of the book of Jonah. In Luke 24:27, and in the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he, our Lord, expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Oh, how I pray that the Father may expound or reveal the things of Christ in these scriptures that we have read. It's all about the Lord of glory who humbled himself and became a man, born of a virgin, born of the Spirit, a true and sinless nature, pure in all that he was, in all that he did, perfect in every way. There was no sin in him, yet he was made to be sin for us. He willingly took all the sins of his people and paid that price for them so that by his perfect obedience, we will be found righteous in him. Because he went to the cross willingly, because he paid the price willingly, because he took our sins with him as he was buried in death, we stand in his righteousness, justified before God. And because God looks upon the blood of his only begotten Son, he sees no sin in you. They are put away as far as the east is from the west, God's word says. God remembers them no more. I don't know about you folks, but that's jumping up and down good news to a sinner like me. You see, when God the Father reveals Christ and him crucified to his people, his chosen before the foundation of the world to be conformed to the image of his Son, Christ and his crucifixion is the only sign that we need. We sing a song. And the scripture written before the song from Romans 5, 6 says, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on the tree, suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. One day they left him alone in the garden. One day he rested from suffering free, and angels came down o'er his tomb to keep vigil. Hope of the hopeless, my Savior is he. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered. Now he is ascended, my Lord, evermore. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day my beloved one's bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. But that's not where he is anymore, folks. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. Let's close with Luke. Luke chapter 11. Do you look for something more? Are you seeking a sign? The end times? There was a whole bunch of people over there in the Bay Area that followed after some guy. Kept declaring the end of times were coming. Kept declaring a sign here, a sign there. Where are their signs now? The Lord still hasn't come back. You know why? He still has people to save.
Amen.
When that last one is called out of darkness to be a member, to be a loved one who was loved before all time, that's when our Lord is finished with his work. That's when our Lord will come back. Are you with me in Luke chapter 11? Let's look at verse 27. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the woman, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps that thou hast sucked. But he said, our Lord, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. Christ and him crucified. As Paul said, I wish to know nothing of you except that. Would you stand with me, please?